Well, praise the Lord for that special as well today. And what a blessing the music has already been and blessing our hearts. I trust you've enjoyed that. Just being in the house of the Lord, there's something about being in church, something about this place. You come in, you just sense the presence of the Lord in this place. And we have his promise that he is here in the midst with us. And I trust that you have already found the blessing of being in church today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, as this is where the Lord would have us to be today, and we're just going to be reading the first three verses here in 1 Peter chapter 2. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together if you're able to stand, just in honor of the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you today. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available to all that are here, that have taken advantage of it in church today. Thank you for just experiencing your presence and the blessings of congregational singing and the special music. Now, Father, as we open up your word, that which you have preserved for us, I pray, God, that you would just empower it once again. Pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Peter, being used of the Lord to pen both 1st and 2nd Peter, powerful books of the Bible. In a chapter in 1 Peter, Peter addresses believers who were scattered abroad and dealing with a lot of adversities in their lives. And they were in need of encouragement and admonition. Can I tell you, all of us are in need of encouragement. And some ministries, that's all they focus on, is just encouragement. But at some point, we have to be admonished, given the counsel of God and things that we should do and shouldn't do. Without the admonition, there would never be an opportunity to repent of things we shouldn't do and commit to things that we should do in adding to our Christian lives. And so we need to make sure that we are receiving the full counsel of the Word of God. Peter was very much aware of that. As we read in chapter 2, he says, wherefore? Now, that's understanding what he has given to us in chapter 1. And as we study chapter 1 of 1 Peter, there's much encouragement. There's much encouragement. If we look back there and after the introduction here, we find in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father. This is chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, I guarantee you, when these believers received this letter from Peter, and again, they had to leave their homeland, they had to leave family and friends, and they were scattered abroad, and all for their belief in the Lord. All because of they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they had a desire to live the life that he had instructed them to live and to do the things that he had instructed them to do. And as they were being persecuted for this, we find that Peter writes to them and they are reminded of things that God has done for them that will bring them encouragement. If you ever get discouraged, if you ever find yourself in need of something, just look to what God has already given us. We have been given a living hope. That means that our hope will never die. No matter what's taken place in our lives, we will never have to live life without hope. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We just came through Easter Sunday just a few weeks ago, and what a blessing it is to know that we serve a resurrected Savior. We have living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to know that we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. That's what he's telling us in verse 3 and 4 here. No matter what happens, no matter what you have to go through in this life, if you have faith to believe in Jesus Christ and you have received him as your personal Lord and Savior, no matter what takes place in this life, you can be assured of this thing that will be an encouragement to us. We have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. And it's undefiled. And it doesn't fade away. It's got your name. It's reserved for you. You can be assured of it. Not only that, we find in verse 8, he says, whom having not seen Jesus Christ you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Those who have the faith to believe that we have salvation through Jesus Christ, he's given to us everlasting life. We have an inheritance in heaven reserved for us. If you have faith to believe that, no matter what you're going through in this life, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Unspeakable means it's something the lost cannot understand. But every believer has this very same hope. Every believer has this very same joy. And it's full of glory. I mean, glory. Hallelujah. What an encouragement. I mean, this is something that ought to fill us with glory. It ought to fill us with joy. It ought to fill us with excitement. It ought to fill us with something that only the believers, only those in faith have to enjoy. The lost don't live their life with this encouragement. But as being saved, knowing that you have received Christ as your Savior, you can live the rest of your life with this joy. Yeah. It goes on in chapter 1, and there's so much more. We're just highlighting some of these things. God has given us this truth so that we might be encouraged. In verse 18, he says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means that there was a purpose for him going to the cross of Calvary. There was a purpose, and you were the purpose, that he suffered and bled and died. And now that he's resurrected and you've put your faith in him, praise the Lord for that, you can be encouraged knowing this beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've been redeemed. And not only do we have this understanding of what Jesus has done for us and the blessings that are associated with that, But in verse 23, he says, being born again, that's being redeemed, that's being saved, that's putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You have been born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We have his written down words to confirm this. You come every time the church doors are open so that you might be influenced with the written down words of God. And can I tell you that as we study the written down words of God and the promises that God has given to us, it is an encouragement. How can you not be encouraged knowing that you have everlasting life? How can you not be encouraged knowing that you have a living hope, a living Savior who is sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us? How can you not be encouraged to know that I have a place in heaven? It's got my name on it. It is reserved, and no one can take it. I don't know if you've ever had a reservation before, and you get there, and they say, sorry, somebody forgot to write it down. And there's nothing available. And you have to go to Motel 6 right across the street here. But wait a minute, I paid and I reserved a room in a Holiday Inn. Sorry, it wasn't written down. You'll never have to worry about that. You'll never have to think twice about what you had to look forward to because it's been written down by Almighty God, and you've got the truth. You've got the assurance of a God who cannot lie. That's written down, reserved in glory. Yeah, for you. That's encouragement. Sometimes you're going through some struggles. You're going through some hard times. Just read 1 Peter chapter 1. God wants you to be encouraged. Yeah, yeah. Chapter 2 now. There's encouragement. But Peter also knows, and God knows, and that's why it's written down this way, that we have to be admonished. If you will, counseled on what to do and what not to do. The words of God are counsel. The words of God admonishes the believer to know just what we are to do and what we are not to do, because the things that it tells us not to do will hinder our rejoicing. And, if you will, our encouragement. If we're going to continue to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, then we have to receive the admonishment. Chapter 2. Wherefore, this admonishment, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. He gives us an example of what he's talking about, something that I think all of us can relate to, a newborn babe. A newborn babe comes into this life without any of those things on their heart and in their minds. They're not given to malice or guile or hypocrisies or envies or evil speakings. No, they're just pure mind. They realize they have life, and because they have life, they have a desire to be nurtured so that they might grow. We are to lay aside and become like a newborn baby that has a desire for nourishment. And if you don't get rid of these things that God tells us to lay aside, it will impact your desire for spiritual things. And if you're not receiving the spiritual things that God would have us to receive, you will not continue to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you're saved, there will be a desire for spiritual things. That's where it says in verse 3, if so be, now you can be like this baby and you can have these right desires and you can receive this nourishment, if so be, means if you don't have that, if you don't have this, you won't have that. You have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have experienced forgiveness and a cleansing and a renewed life. You have experienced the truth to know that I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell, deservedly, because I know that I'm a sinner. But God came to me somehow, some way, through a soul winner, through a tract, through a message, through my reading the Bible, and God revealed to me that He loved me. And He's paid a price that I owe and couldn't pay. And if all I'll do is just believe it and look to Him as my living hope and receive that He has for me, I can have this salvation. I can be born again. I can have this everlasting life. And it will be reserved for whenever my life on this earth is over. I have a reservation. And I can live this life knowing that I have a reservation in heaven. Yeah. If you're saved, there will be spiritual desires. It's an evidence of life in you. Evidence that this baby has life is that there is a desire to be nurtured. And as the baby is nurtured, it will cry for the nourishment. But when this baby is being nurtured, it stops crying. Because that's what it's after. And as it's being nurtured, it grows thereby. If you're saved, can I tell you there will be a spiritual desire to be fed, a spiritual desire to nurture this new life in me. If you're saved, that's an evidence of salvation, is spiritual desires, a desire to grow, a desire to have a better understanding of the Bible, a better understanding of my Savior, a better understanding of God's will for my life. That's something that's in me. That comes with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's sad to say, but some have this desire, and all they have in their mouth is a pacifier. It somewhat serves a purpose of getting that baby to stop crying. But it's really not giving that baby any nourishment. And if all they have is a pacifier, now they're doing what they ought to be doing because they have a desire for spiritual things, but sometimes they are deceived in thinking that they're getting nourishment, and they're not getting nourishment, they're just getting a pacifier. And they stay babes because they can't grow outside of getting the nourishment. That's a sad thing. But we see that a lot. They go to church. They want to be nourished. It's something in, I got saved. I asked Christ, but somehow I got misdirected. And I'm instead of getting the nourishment that God has for me, I just have somebody putting a pacifier in my mouth. If you're not growing, maybe it's because you're not being nurtured. If you're not being nurtured, it could be because you have not the right spiritual desires, an appetite for spiritual things. Physically, if I would ask you, what hinders your appetite for food? I think most of us say, not a whole lot. I can pretty much eat any time. We have our things that we desire more than others. We have an appetite for these things. And you put it on my plate, I'm going to devour it. I remember several years back, we took the kids to Kings Island, and we was looking to have a good day. And, of course, we go hungry to Kings Island because of all of the food that are not really good for you, but you really can enjoy. And a day at Kings Island, you're looking for that. But I think it was Crystal, my oldest daughter, she wanted to ride this one ride. And I thought, I don't like to be just spun around. Give me roller coasters. Take me as fast as you want to take me up and down. I'm fine with that. I enjoy that. Just don't spin me around. But she kept on and kept on. She just focused on that. I said, all right. And so let's do it first. Let's get it over with. I got off of that ride, and I was sick as a dog. I was. I'm at King's Island. It's early, and I'm thinking, I want to go home. I've got the kids. They love it. My wife, she's there, and she wants to, and they're looking at all the different elephant ears with all the ice cream on top of it and the strawberries and the whipped cream, and I'm thinking, I have no appetite for that. I don't have a desire for that. The corn dogs and all the deep-fried Snicker bars and whatever else you can think about, they have at King's Island that thing you can't find anywhere else. And you go there thinking, man, I'm gonna take this time and indulge myself, enjoy the day. But I got so sick all day long. I didn't eat one thing. Because something stole my appetite. That's physical. If Satan can steal your spiritual appetite, he will. We are admonished to know what we need to get rid of, to put away from us, so that we will keep a spiritual appetite for nourishment, and with the nourishment, be able to grow as God would have us to grow. And so, after the encouragement, Paul said, let me give you a needed admonishment. Because you might think you have the right for these things, but all they'll do is run your appetite for spiritual things. You're being forsaken and persecuted by man. And all this, it seems, and really looking at it, it's not unfair, but it is reality. And if you don't get rid of some of these things, you will not grow, because you will not have a desire to be nurtured. As that baby, a baby doesn't have any of these thoughts in their head. That baby is just saying, I have life, I want to grow, I want to be nurtured. Give me some nourishment. What is it? Very quickly, if we look here in chapter 2 and verse 1, what God says we need to lay aside. Because if you don't lay it aside, it will take away your appetite for spiritual nourishment. Wherefore, be encouraged, but as you're encouraged, lay aside all malice. Malice. Extreme enmity of heart. Hatred. Bitterness. Ill will toward another. Anger. Have you ever tried to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory when you're too busy hating somebody? When you're too busy wanting something bad to happen to someone because they've done you wrong? Titus, look over there with me. We find that as God addresses it to us in Paul's letter to Titus in chapter 3. There's no way for a believer to live. Clear out your mind of all malice like that baby and focus on what's important. Satan would love to get you to focus on hatred, bitterness, anger, ill will. The Bible says in Titus in chapter 3, put them in mind. Paul is writing to Titus, and he says, you have an obligation to those listening to you as you preach the word of God, as you reveal the truth of God. Not only encourage them, but you need to admonish people. You need to put people in mind of some things. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be of no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes, this is what we were bound by, this is what Satan did to us, we were bound by this, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. So people are so filled with a hatred for somebody else, they come to church and that hatred keeps them from the nourishment that God has for them, even in church. How sad. I mean, you get the victory, you come to church, you finally make it to church, but you maybe see somebody and Satan fills your heart with a ill will, a hatred, and throughout the whole service, there's nothing on your mind as far as desiring to be nurtured because you're thinking more of a hatred for an individual. Wow. We come to church to be nurtured. We come to church because God says, that's where I want you to be fed. I'm going to have the preaching of the Word of God. I want to give you messages through music. I want you to just come as that little baby and just having a hunger and for something that will encourage you and nurture you so that you might grow thereby. Don't let Satan fill you with things that's going to ruin your spiritual appetite. Get rid of it. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Guile. Guile. That's the second one he mentions to us. Guile is to mislead or to deceive for personal gain. The Bible reveals to us in 2 Corinthians, let me just read this to you. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says this, "But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled." He used this guile. He beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Can I tell you, guile is something that Satan uses. Living for personal gain is the opposite of Christ-likeness. Wow. It'll rob you of spiritual desires that takes us to a place of rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hypocrisies. A hypocrite is one who pretends, an actor, pretends to be something that they are not, but what they want people to think of them. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus dealt with this. This is admonishing. This is things that we need to have. If we're not admonishing, if we're not aware of this, then we will fall right into these kind of traps. And if you're not careful, you're not going to have the desire for spiritual things. Jesus taught on this, and he said in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14, Matthew 23 and verse 14 to start with, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense," it's for show, it's being an act, "make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." There again we find in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 28, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisies and iniquity." This person is always wondering, who am I? This person is a hypocrite at work or at school because you don't want people to know that you have anything to do with Christ. And then you come to the place of church, you come to a place where everyone else around you is saved, and you try to act like you are more spiritual than what you are. And it's how you act and what you say is based upon what you think others want to hear from you. How does a person live that way? Can I tell you that that kind of mentality is going to rob you of the joy of the Lord? That kind of mentality is going to rob you from a desire for spiritual things. And that has to be laid aside. You need to know who you are in Christ. Let anyone and everyone else know who I am. And be thankful for who you are in Christ. I am a born-again believer, and I have chosen to live a biblical life. No matter if the world wants to see me live a biblical life or not, my testimony to the world is I believe in a Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm going to live my life based upon what the Bible teaches. That's who I am. That's who I am in the world, and that's who I am in church, because that's who I am. And we need to feel good about who we are. If you're in Christ, listen to me, you can have the encouragement of knowing what you have in Christ, and then you can go out in the world and have a testimony of I am in Christ. And this, the reason I live the way I do is because it's what the Bible teaches. Amen. The opposite of hypocrisies, envies to covet. The word envy here in that evil sense is to covet what someone else has. I don't want them to have it, I want it. You can't be blessed by somebody else's blessings. You can't rejoice with them that rejoice, because you're too filled with wanting what they have. And if you live that way, if that's in your heart and mind, it's going to take away your appetite. Because the more spiritual food you receive, you realize that's something that I need to confess and forsake. Proverbs chapter 14, let me just read it to you. Proverbs chapter 14, write it down, verse 30. The Bible says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Now, antithetical statements, to get the truth of that, look to the second part of this proverb. But envy, the rottenness of the bones. So if I don't want my bones to be rotten, if I don't want to have all of this rotten inside of me, then I need to have a sound heart, because it's the life of the flesh. A sound heart is wanting what you have, being thankful for what you have been given. If you are not giving thanks for what you have, don't expect God to give you anything more. If you are not giving thanks to God for what He has already given to you, can I tell you, we all have much more than what Satan would want us to acknowledge. We are blessed. You questioning that? Look and read chapter 1. Look at what God has given to you to encourage you. Amen. If that's all you have, praise the Lord, you have much to be thankful for. But so often we get away from that, and we have these envies, and we covet what somebody else has, and that's our mentality, and that controls our minds. And when that's controlling your mind, it takes away that spiritual appetite to receive what God has for us, that we might grow by thereby. Got to lay it aside. You have to look to see, is that something that has been hindering me? Is that something that, God, I need to address in my own heart and mind? I don't know. But God tells me to preach it and admonish you with it, because I know it will. Yeah. Last thing he says, evil speaking. Evil speaking is speaking anything other than what God would have you to speak. Gossip, slander, lies, critical spirit. Most of these are an outlet for revenge or hurt feelings. And they're justified because of what somebody else has done to you. And yet it's exactly what Satan uses to rob us of the things that God has for us. This, along with any or all the above that we've studied, will hinder our spiritual appetite and will keep us from rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We need to be encouraged to rejoice. And at the same time, we need to be admonished to lay aside. And I think they work hand in hand. The more you lay aside, the more you'll find rejoicing in life. What is it? You just need to hold on to the encouragement, or do you need to maybe work on some of the admonishment? Everyone has to do it themselves. We just preach what God tells us to preach. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. We do need to be encouraged. Praise the Lord for encouragement. But we also need to be admonished. And praise the Lord for admonishment. I want you to go out from this church and experience the joy of the Lord, because it is your strength. God wants us to live a life of rejoicing and be filled with His glory. In order to do that, we have to lay aside some things that are stealing from us the joy of the Lord. God spoke to you this morning. I'm going to give an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. Don't let it pass you by. Deal with this today. Leave here this morning encouraged. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord God. Thank you for the truth we find in this 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2. And I just pray that you'd help us to make an application. There might be those here that have never put their faith and trust in you. They've never been born again. I pray this morning that they would come and seek that. Others have been stuck with a pacifier. They're not getting the nourishment. God, help them to see the difference. And others need to just work on laying aside. Help us, God. Give us strength to lay aside any hindrance that would take away our spiritual desires. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.